When Andrew Sean Greer's Less first came out, reviewer Ron Charles of the Washington Post asked, "Do we really need another novel about a novelist?" To which he then answered, "Yes, this one is delightful." Now, Less has won this year's Pulitzer Prize for fiction. The book's hero, appropriately named Arthur Less, is overshadowed by the acclaimed poet he lived with for years, just less than a successful lover. His most recent partner left him to marry another man. He's about to turn 50 when his agent informs him his new novel isn't being picked up. And a friend helpfully points out, it's not because he's a bad writer, it's because he's a bad gay. Robin Young spoke with Andrew Sean Greer when the novel was first published.
Look, your character Arthur's book, the one that's been rejected, has a character that's wandering San Francisco. You have a character in Arthur wandering the world. Halfway around, he blows up his book, rewrites it. So, of course, I'm wondering, is some of Arthur, you the author? Wondering if you also fought with some of those same issues of, like, this book, I got to tear it apart.
Absolutely. I think, of course, an author writing about an author is that Ron Charles wrote, is the last thing anyone wants to read about, and writers should never do it. But I think after a couple books, they let you have one of these. You have fun with the whole thing, because what do you actually do all the time but write? And then you're supposed to write about like a jailbreak or something, and I have to research it. So it was fun to dig into my own anxieties.
Well, yeah, talk about that. Well, who is Arthur Less? Which, by the way, everybody says around the world, like, who the hell is Arthur Less?
Well, he's nobody. That is the whole thing. He's been attached to a genius, and he's had some amount of success in his own career. But really, by middle age, if you haven't had great success, you're kind of invisible in some way. He's full of self-doubt, and yet, strangely, he has a childlike hope for the future, which leads him to take on these bizarre projects around the world that he says yes to, which, of course, only gets him into trouble.
Oh, it's so painful. Because of his status as an almost famous author, he gets invitations to interview others, to speak in France. He's part of some sort of American outreach reading program. He reads aloud to coal miners, and he's thinking, what on earth was everyone thinking, bringing a mid-list homosexual to read to French coal miners? He teaches in Germany for a while, and you use this great technique letting us hear the translation of what he thinks is his good German. And, for instance, he meets his students and says, hello, I have to kill you, or something like that.
That was super fun to write. I know no German, so that wasn't based on me at all. But I thought in so many books we make fun of people with funny accents in English. I thought, imagine how funny we sound in other languages.
Well, we get to hear. He gets impaled on a sewing needle in India, trapped in a sandstorm in Morocco. At one point, falls on his knees. As you write, he has nothing left, our gay Job. Was there something, biblical as well as Homeric here, somebody setting off on a journey?
I hadn't thought about it as biblical until I realized that I'd tortured my poor character until he had nothing left, just because I found it funny. I just kept thinking, what other kind of vanity can I strip away from him?
What did his friend mean when he said to him, it's not that you're a bad writer, you're a bad gay? What was that?
Well, now I do have to admit that someone said that to me years ago.
What?
And I just have puzzled over it for years. And so then I thought, I'll just have someone say it in the book and mystify Arthur himself. I think it's something about you're supposed to have sort of like a propaganda for the political movement rather than people by complicated characters that you may not particularly like, and sometimes you like the villains and that kind of stuff in literature, that I wasn't doing it right, which, I mean, God knows, I'm sure I'm not doing something right here, but I don't know if that's it.
Well, in this case, his friend Finley was trying to point out that in all of his books, he depicts gays who are, suffering. Here's Finley. It's our duty to show something beautiful from our world, the gay world. But in your books, you make the characters suffer without reward. If I didn't know better, I'd think you were Republican. books filled with self-hating. Is that part of what maybe someone meant to you?
Yeah, I think they were trying to tell me that I was just too mean to the gay characters and that, like, what was I trying to show the world?
Well, but maybe you're trying to show reality?
That's what I thought. Well, and the other thing is, of course, every writer knows that you have very little control over what you're doing. If you start off with some master plan, which I always try, it falls apart. So It's not really in my hands, although that won't make sense to anyone who's like my mother. She always sees herself in my books, and I tell her she's not in them. She's definitely not in this one, Mom.
Well, because they think it is in your hands. It's your hands that are writing it, but you're saying—
I mean, I'm literally doing it, so who's to blame but me, I guess. But I feel like there's some other person to blame.
Well, the character. The character seems to be, you're saying, taking you in certain directions. Look, this could be seen also as commentary on the last half a century of, the gay world. Because one of the reasons that Arthur's in a bit of a panic approaching 50s, he knew how to be young. A lot of parties, a lot of partners. He knows how to be old. He's seeing his former partner, the poet, on that horizon. He doesn't know how to be 50 because he hasn't seen very many people become 50 because he's of the generation that was lost to AIDS.
Yeah. It's a funny thing to be in the middle of this sort of comic novel that something that I've thought about. I'm not quite 50 yet, let's just be clear. Mm-hmm. But I thought about a lot that the generation just ahead of me, we lost a lot of them, tens of thousands. And so I have not seen a lot of men getting into 50, 60. It has been sad for decades, but it means that there's this whole lost group mm-hmm. and that could have taught me how to get old. Mm-hmm. And I guess we all have to figure it out in our own way.
Yeah. Well, as Arthur does. But not before he interviews a famous science fiction author, and Arthur shows up with a Russian cosmonaut's helmet, and he bought in a gay bar. It's a whole other story. he goes to an awards contest in Italy, so excited, but it's being judged by high school students. You even relate that in his high school had an Arthur Less Day. Nobody shows up. Yes, that's extreme. But as a traveling author, are you trying to reflect on some of that? Oh, God, who's going to be here? Is anybody going to be here? That lifestyle.
Yes. Even friends of mine who were some of the most successful writers there are, I see them on book tour. I just saw some of them in Italy, and I watched little humiliations being built into even these wonderful events. Great writers who had this huge crowd in a piazza, and there were all these teenage girls in the front row who had filled the first couple rows, and they thought, wow, isn't this wonderful? The teenagers in Italy are reading. That they kept looking at their phones, and finally when the event was over, they realized that it was the next event they had gotten seats for, which was like a super pop star in Italy, 22-year-old. And they were, of course, abashed, realizing that no one had come for them after all. And these are highly successful writers who felt a little humiliated by this event. Nobody's fault, but it's sort of part of the thing.
It's part of it. Well, I just, Andrew Sean Greer, just wondering, this is a person, I'm picturing someone I know. When I read about Arthur Less,
yeah.
Have you had people come up to you and say, well, I had no idea you thought that ill of me, or I had no idea you thought... I mean, are people recognizing themselves?
Usually, the people you are terrified are going to recognize themselves never do, because their vanity is too large to include the version of themselves that you see. And it's the people who aren't in there at all who are convinced they're... They see themselves in every little character. Again, mother, you're not in this book.
Andrew Sean Greer, his new novel is Less. Did you find yourself, poor Arthur Less, as you said, making, kind of making fun in some ways, trying to tear away every conceit that he has, every vanity that he has. But do you like him?
Oh, I really do. Yeah. I think if I didn't like him, it would be a cruel book. But I had such fun writing it, and I have such affection for him that I never really wanted him to suffer very much.
Well, as he said, it's really hard to feel bad for a white guy, but...
That's part of it, too. I thought, I think I can do anything to this one, and how much privilege can I strip away before he still has enough to get by, anyway.
Well, we mentioned Homer, and dear future reader, don't worry. When he crawls back to his home in the last couple of pages, there is his reward. Andrew, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Robin Young spoke with Andrew Sean Greer about his Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, Less, last July.